And we're joined right now on the fan hotline by Tony Gibson, the defensive coordinator of NC State. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Tony going to tell us a little bit about Peyton Wilson, who jumped on Cam Hayward's podcast. Cam Hayward asked, what are the Steelers getting in Peyton Wilson? And Peyton said this, a guy that if there is 75 downs played, I want to be out there for all 75, and I'm going to be looking to rip someone's head off on every one of them. Tony, first of all, thank you for making time with us today. I know you're in the airport right now, so we do appreciate it. 30,000 feet here, man. What are the Steelers getting in Peyton Wilson?
I'll tell you, he's a, just a great character guy, first off. He's a great young man. But the other thing that he gets, I always describe him as a unicorn. I mean, he's rare. He's 6'4", 238 pounds, runs a 4.43, and plays the game with that speed as well. You know, not only did he run that at the combine, but he plays fast. I mean, he's one of the best instinctive players I've ever had the pleasure to coach.
Yeah, Tony, you bring up the instincts and the measurables, the 6'4", 230-some pounds, and you're running the 4.43. Like, what are some of the, like, deeper characteristics that you look for in a linebacker and that Peyton Wilson has that could translate to the NFL immediately?
Well, I think the number one thing is he's a three-down linebacker. Yeah, he's a guy that they'll never take off the field. He can cover slot receivers. He can cover tight ends. His length, and then he'll pull the trigger on his blitz tracks as well. I mean, he's a guy that, he just has everything. He bends really well. They could do just so many different things with him. And also he's physical in the run game, as you know. I mean, he made 138 tackles for us, so he'll pull the trigger and get downhill on people. So, he is the, he's everything that you want in a linebacker. He's tough. All those things. I could sit here for 30 minutes and tell you all the great stuff about him, but he's just a different kind of kid.
138 tackles, like you mentioned, 17 and a half behind the line of scrimmage, 6 sacks, and also 3 interceptions. That's the on-the-field stuff. I also understand that he has a wrestling background, Tony. What kind of a guy is he off the field?
He's a great young man, great family, grew up about 45 minutes from campus here. And he's a guy that, is very loyal. Obviously with the days that we all know in college football with the transfer portal, he could have probably went anywhere in the country and probably got a lot of money thrown at him and wanted to stay here and see this thing out. And obviously played 6 years of college football. So, just a great, great young man, great family, and he's a Pittsburgh kind of guy.
Should his injury history be of any concern for Steelers fans? We do know that he doesn't have an ACL, but, throughout your time coaching him, was he durable outside of that? And should people be a little worried and weary that his injury history has come up, and that's possibly the reason why he fell in the draft?
Yeah, it's a crazy game, as we all know. I mean, any play could be your last one. And with him, the way he approaches and plays the game, he has no regard for his body. But again, he played the last 2 years, and the numbers back it up. I mean, he was in on a lot of tackles and a lot of contact and held up just fine. He's not going to I'm not worried about it. We weren't worried about it here. He never missed reps in practice because we were worried. So he's a durable guy and he is a tough guy. So injuries can happen to anybody out on the field, as we all know. But I would not be concerned. I mean, the guy takes care of his body off the field as well. Really good with his nutrition, does the extra work in the weight room with the trainers, chiropractors, all the things that you need to be doing to keep your body right. So I'm not concerned at all with that.
NC State defensive coordinator Tony Gibson, kind enough to join us here on the Fan Morning Show. I hate to do this as a guy who didn't play the game, but Tony, I think you're the perfect guy to ask. Is there a player he reminds you of, an NFL guy that he might model his game after, or somebody that he makes you go, oh man, he did this just like X, Y, or Z did?
Yeah, Luke Kuechly comes to mind. Obviously, athletic, long, understands the schemes. And that's the thing, too, that you know, the normal fan doesn't recognize or see. But sitting in the meeting room with him for 5 years and coaching him, you know, he's a guy. He understands schemes and what people are trying to do and how they're trying to attack him. So he is so, so smart. And he will study as much film as anybody in that building and know exactly how he's going to get attacked and understand how to, fix all those things and just anticipating plays and all that.
Given everything you just said, do you think he could come in day one, pick up the scheme and start?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly what the roster looks like in Pittsburgh right now, but you know, this dude is, again, I've been doing this 30 years and he is as good as any player I've ever coached. Wow. I've had NFL linebackers and I've had first round DBs that I've coached, and this guy, football instinct wise, the way he plays the game, practices the game, he's as good, if not the best I've ever had.
Tony, I know you got to catch a flight, so this will be the last thing here for you. I know with the technology these days, you can monitor just about everything with these athletes. There was a play where he came, you know, bolting down the field against Notre Dame, where I think he was clocked at going 23 miles an hour, which is faster than Tyreek Hill ran at any point in the NFL last season. Can you confirm those numbers, or is he just flying out there and you don't necessarily need to put a number on it?
Yeah, I know one thing. I don't care who we played in the ACC or non-conference or whatever it was, but again, he was the fastest guy on the field every snap for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years that since we've had this GPS tracking. And, you know, there's I don't know exactly the number. It said 23-something. I don't know if that's accurate, but I know one thing. There's nobody that we've ever played against between those white lines that's faster than him.
So
that dude, whether it's a wide receiver, a tailback, whoever it is, and, you know, so that is facts.
Well, I lied to you, Tony. I got one more for you real quick. did you recruited Zach Frazier, did you not, or you were part of that?
I did. I recruited Zach, and we signed Zach in December in early signing, and then we left. Dana took the job at Houston. I came to NC State. So we had Zach in camp a couple times, and I was the lead recruiter for him just because I had the West Virginia area when I was there. So he is a tough, hard-nosed kid. Again, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think that they had the best draft class you know, on the board, just because, again, I have attachments to these guys, but they're great football players and great human beings. So that's, you know, that says a lot.
Tony, appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much. Safe travels, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. And be assured, Pittsburgh, you're going to love Peyton Wilson. He's your kind of guy.
You're the man, Tony. Thanks
Tony.
Again, buddy.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Tony Gibson, North Carolina State defensive coordinator. Yeah, how about that? So Peyton Wilson gets drafted 98th overall, and he's his DC his entire time there. But he did. He recruited Zach Frazier.
I say this, and I tell the West Virginia story whenever Tony Gibson recruited me a bunch of times. But all joking aside, like he made you want to play for West Virginia. Like, he was one of those coaches that walked into every high school, and if he wanted a guy, like, he made you and made you feel like you could be a part of their family. And he's one of the best recruiters out there and has been for, I mean, almost 20 years.
Yeah, he's been up for the Broyles Award at NC State the last few years.
I mean, just talk about it engaging. I mean, you could just even hear what the way he just describes, you know, Peyton Wilson there, like just how engaging he is. And he's had a lot, you know, he's had a lot of, and he even said he had a lot of first rounders, has had a lot of DBs, D linemen, linebackers. He's put a lot of guys in the league, and now you get to see two of them where he was the lead recruiter on go in the, you know, second and third round.
I mean, it's really telling to me that he was willing to come on with us when he was going to be in between flights.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'll tell you, if I get asked to do a radio interview and I'm in the airport, I'm not doing it. I want people looking at me. Oh, right. Who's this guy? What's he talking about? Why is he getting so in-depth on this football guy? It just tells you how much he cares about Peyton Wilson and the player he is, too. He's not the only guy that I heard him comp to Luke Kuechly. I mean, you're talking about, I think Kuechly was a little bit heavier, but you're talking about 40 times. You're talking about recognition. You're talking about the production in college. I mean, the production numbers for Peyton Wilson, dude, his last 2 years are insane. So in 2022, 12.5 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks and a pick. And he's an inside backer. Then last year, 138.
Huh. 138 is this.
In 12 games, 17.5 tackles for loss, 6 sacks, 3 interceptions, and 1 touchdown. And then 6 passes defensed, 2 fumble recoveries, 1 forced fumble. The guy's an animal.
Animal.
If his ACL situation was normal, this is a first-round player.
Yes.
And look, when the Steelers had him on the board and they're getting ready to pick at 98, I'm thinking, what do they need? Another receiver would be good. Defensive line, we even had as a higher need than inside linebacker. Cornerback, they desperately need. And he winds up, and they wind up taking Peyton Wilson. And I didn't want an inside backer, but you can't turn away value.
No,
here.
You can't ignore that.
He was a top 50 player on two of the big guys' boards, Daniel Jeremiah and Mel Kiper Jr. Value's value. Like, value slaps you in the face. And this is where you legitimately talk about you're probably not going to do it in the first couple of rounds as much anymore, especially if you think you're close. But this is best player available right here. And I think this guy's got a shot to be a Pro Bowler.
Me too.
Dude, he runs like Devin Bush and is built like Luke freaking Kuechly.
Like another good comparison is Urlacher. Urlacher was that tall linebacker that could move sideline to sideline. But that transition.
He was a safety in college.
Right.
Urlacher.
That transition is almost, not seamless, but like, I mean, you could transition 100 and some tackles to the NFL. Like if you have instincts and you're a middle linebacker and you're going from college to the NFL, like that does play.
Well, he said he's the fastest guy on the field routinely.
Choof.
All the DBs, wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, he's the fastest guy. I mean, I saw that video. I brought the video up. I mean, he was clocked at over 23 miles an hour.
That's humming.
Humming? I mean, are you kidding me? So I would regularly, normally, typically, have a problem taking an inside linebacker in the third round when I don't think, because you signed Patrick Queen and you've got Alanna Roberts, that I don't think you needed a linebacker too good to pass up. And if you pair him with Patrick Queen now for the foreseeable future.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this defense went from good last year, top, what, 6th in points allowed, that if they stay healthy, they should be right up there in the top 5 again. And we didn't have time to ask Tony there, but I would think that this guy's going to be an absolute demon on special teams. Now that kickoffs are back, I mean, you imagine this dude coming down on you at 23 miles an hour at 6'4"?
Nope.
Are you kidding me? All right. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. A little bit more to react to there from Tony Gibson. And then at the bottom of the hour, Neil Brown, West Virginia's head coach, to talk about Zach Frazier and to talk about Beanie Bishop, who the Steelers got as an undrafted rookie free agent. Thanks to NC State defensive coordinator Tony Gibson for joining us and talking about Peyton Wilson and a little bit about Zach Frazier, too, because when he was at West Virginia, Tony Gibson, he was the number one recruiter of Zach Frazier, who, of course, the Steelers took in the second round. We're going to react to a little bit more of what Tony had to say coming up in a moment, but I wanted to remind you about the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. It benefits local volunteer fire departments. We're going to broadcast live for over 26 hours as we raise funds to help these volunteers who serve and sacrifice for us. Go to 93.7 The Fan for details on the event and to register your local VFD. The Fan 5 Alarm Marathon is presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union and brought to you by 1-800-BOARD-UP and by Hampton Beer Outlet. I had a weird dream last night.
Oh, no.
About this Fan 5 Alarm Marathon.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Who knows what you?
It was about you wearing that tight West Virginia shirt over there, Dorn.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. It got hot in my dream by watching you squeeze into that thing over there. Isn't it beautiful him wearing a West Virginia shirt today, Callis? Okay, that was a little cringeworthy.
Can I rip this off like I did the basketball
jersey? No, you can't, because I need to wear that before West Virginia beats Penn State, because it says beat Penn State on
the front. You're not going to be able to fit in it.
No, I gained all that baby weight, and I needed it to be stretched out. So you've actually done me a little bit of a favor there, Dorn.
Okay.
But I had a dream about Colony and Greg Giannotti being part of this Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. I'm sure Colony will be in this. Like, I'm sure we'll find a way to not rope him in, but get him to do it. I'd love to see if Giannotti would want to connect and do like an overnight hour or something.
Yeah,
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
The old Fan Morning Show host to the new Fan Morning Show hosts. I think the people would like that.
Are we going to work together? We're not working together.
We
right?
will from 6 until 10, but there's going to be a lot of mix and match stuff overnight.
Okay.
Like, I think Starkey and Malzi are going to get back together and do a little bit. I'm sure that one's been requested an awful lot. So it should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right outside the Green Tree VFD.
Yes.
Yeah. Food trucks, dunk tank, all that kind of jazz. All right, back to Peyton Wilson. So, Tony Gibson, his defensive coordinator for the last 5 years, said he's as good as any linebacker he's ever coached. So I started racking my brain. Kaiser White was a third-round pick, wound up playing in the NFL for West Virginia. He coached him. David Long, who's had a nice NFL career, who's a three-down linebacker, coached him. Coached Nick Kwiatkowski from Bethel Park, who was good for the Mountaineers. He was good for a time for Chicago. The Steelers had him in camp last year, but wound up cutting him. And then another fifth-round pick in K.J. Dillon. So he's coached a lot of good backers, and he says that this guy, Peyton Wilson, is absolutely the best. And then he compared him to Luke Kuechly. And what really piqued my interest, hello, Doran, was when he talked about covering slot receivers and tight ends. You need to be able to be on the field for three downs because offensive coordinators and players are too good in this league. If whoever your worst defender, like Robert Spillane, God bless Robert Spillane as a run stuffer, as a special teams guy, he was good. But when he was on the field, even if it wasn't necessarily a passing situation, it became a passing situation because DCs or OCs are sitting up at night going, oh, how do we exploit these guys? Oh, anytime Robert Spillane's on the field, we're going after him.
Yeah.
Anytime Devin Bush is on the field, we know he's, even if he's stride for stride with a tight end, he's 5'10". The idea of this guy plus Minka Fitzpatrick as sort of your antidotes against tight ends, oh, man, it's got my head spinning.
Oh, man, think about him running down the seam in, like, the Tampa 2, you know, dropping back. I mean, you have a 6'4" guy. It's hard to throw. It's hard to find lanes. And if he can actually cover, like, man-to-man and tight ends, I mean, we do know what tight ends do nowadays. They're, you know, almost glorified basketball players, 6'6", and super athletic. So you can match fire with fire there. He does really possess every single characteristic you want in a linebacker.
I can't believe he was there at 98.
Hearing Tony talk about it, and the fact that it was only because that he doesn't have an ACL. Like, there was nothing else. Are we sure?
And he played the last two. He played 23 of the 24 right. games the last 2 years. You asked the question. I thought it was a good one. Is he durable apart from that? And Tony said we weren't worried about
right.
it. He missed a lot of the season 3 years ago. But even before that, he was durable. So his first couple of seasons, he was good. Then he was hurt. Then the last couple of seasons, he was good. And the other thing Tony said, and, you know, I don't know how much to make of stuff like this. I don't think it's a negative that he had a lot of people come knocking on his door, like other big-time programs who wanted him to transfer out, and they wanted to throw the bag at him, and he wound up staying at NC State. There's something to that.
Yeah, loyal.
Yeah. Like, I don't think, if guys transfer, I don't look at it as this terrible red flag or anything like that. It's the reality of today's game. But if you stay, I do think that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to stay. He might, I don't know, man. He might be my favorite pick.
Same. No, it's not your favorite pick. Can't be.
Zach Frazier is...
Outside of Frazier. We don't have to count him.
Outside of Frazier, I really like this pick.
Yeah.
And if you would have told me that they took a linebacker in the third round, like before the draft, not having all the information at our disposal, I probably would have flipped out. Corner, no. You need a tackle. You need a center. You need wide receiver help. You need defensive line help. Like, inside backer would have been down the list for me. But to get this guy, I think, is a hell of a pick by
him. Yeah, you couldn't ignore it. Like, I mean, we talked draft best available, and you said this earlier. Like, if a guy like that is on the board, like, I don't care if you have two – if you're the Ravens and had last year and had Queen and Smith, Roquan Smith, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to pass. Even in that situation, it would be hard to pass up a guy like this.
Well, and think about what the Ravens defense became after Roquan Smith was added. Like, they already had Patrick Queen, and then you add Roquan Smith, And if you look at the numbers pre-Roquan and post-Roquan, it's like when Troy was hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, they would always flash that on CBS. Steelers with Troy, without Troy. He had that kind of an impact, kind of like TJ Watt. That kind of an impact. And I'm not sitting here today telling you that Peyton Wilson is going to come on in here and be Roquan Smith. But in modern football, I don't think you want to pay a ton of money for inside linebackers. But when you have two good ones, it makes a massive, massive difference. And then as for Zach Frazier, you know, people are going to say, Crowley, you love it because he's the West Virginia guy. And I do love it because he's the West Virginia guy. If Graham Barton would have fallen in the second round, even if they had moved up for him, I'd have been okay with it because you would have had your tackle in center. If it would have been JPJ instead of Zach Frazier, I would have liked it because you would have had your tackle and your center. So it's just an added bonus for me that he's my dude, but I needed them and they needed to get tackle first and then center for the best, you know, to get the most value out of each pick, and they did that. So I love it.
And at their pace, too.
They didn't have to give up any extra capital, man. Nothing. You're right about that.
At their pace.
Huh. All right, we're going to talk to West Virginia head ball coach Neil Brown about Zach Frazier coming up next, their 51st overall pick in the draft. Also, Beanie Bishop, an undrafted rookie free agent cornerback that the Steelers got just after the draft concluded. He played at West Virginia and was an All-American last year. So we'll talk to Neil about both of those guys when we come back. Well, the Steelers sure made my night on Saturday night, Doran. Zach Frazier goes to Pittsburgh, second round, 51st overall. It was touch and go there for a minute. I really thought if he were there at 51, they were going to take him. I didn't think he'd be there. He was, and well, I started partying. I started drinking. Mm-hmm. I threw on Country Roads, and you, a through-and-through pitman, wanted Zach Frazier so bad that you said you would wear a West Virginia shirt today if Zach Frazier were to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, and you've got your West Virginia beat Penn State shirt on.
Correct.
So you're a good sport.
Thank you.
We're joined now by his former coach, Zach Frazier. Zach Frazier's former coach, Neil Brown, joins us right now, the head coach of WVU football. Neil, thank you so much for taking the time today, man. Thanks. Hey, Neil, you got us?
I got you. Guys, I appreciate you having me on. And I'll say this to start, man. The city of Pittsburgh and Steeler Nation is going to love Zach Frazier.
I think he fits exactly what Pittsburgh views itself as, coach, as a football player. I mean, he's hard-nosed, he's tough, he's smart. Before we get into those kinds of things, what kind of guy are the Steelers getting in Zach Frazier?
Well, I'll say this, is he changed our locker room. He came in as a freshman in our first true recruiting class. And on both line of scrimmages, we were below average. And he came in and with his work ethic and how he went about his business on a daily basis, both in the weight room, nutrition, how he took care of his body, how he studied, how he practiced, how he went about his off-season workouts, and really changed our offensive line room. And we went from a team that really struggled in 19 on the offensive line to a team that led all Power Fives in rushing last year, and 2 years in a row, top 10 in sacks allowed. Our defensive line is really one of the strengths of our team now. And because of his influence on the O-line, the D-line, that room completely changed too, and that was all because of Zach Frazier. And who Zach Frazier is, he has great character. I think he was raised the right way. His mom and dad and all of his extended family that's around Fairmont and Bridgeport are great people. And so he's been brought up the right way. And so he's a high character guy that works extremely hard. And he absolutely loves football. And he doesn't just love playing the game of football. He loves all the work that goes into it, the weightlifting, okay, the film study. He is a football guy. And once he gets a really good feel for what the expectations are of him with the Steelers and what the offensive scheme is, I think he's going to start for them. I think he'll start early. And I really believe he'll start for a long time.
Yeah, Neil, that kind of leads into my question to you. I mean, we all know that the physical traits are there with Zach Frazier. I mean, a former wrestler, you know, you can't hate that if you're an offensive lineman. You know, when you see him bully guys around, I mean, the toughness level is through the roof. I mean, he dragged, you know, one of your players for a first down on a broken leg. Like, all those traits and measurables are fantastic. But what's he like mentally? Like whenever there's a game plan put in front of him, and as a center, you know, you and I both know that it's more than just blocking guys in front of you, like calling out defenses, getting mic calls. Can he handle that stuff, and how good was he with you of really being the quarterback of the offensive line?
Well, let's just take his senior year. And let's start with this. He started 35 of 36 games for us, and he played in 36 consecutive games. So he's durable. And let's take last season, his senior season. We lead the Power 5 in rushing. And to lead the Power 5 in rushing, what you've got to have is you've got to make sure that your O-line and your tight ends are on the right people. And you can't allow run-throughs. You can't have negative plays. And he's responsible for that. So he was responsible for making sure that our communication on the O-line, and we were blocking the six most dangerous threats at all times, and he did an unbelievable job. We had one of the fewest sack numbers in the entire country, and that's because we were making sure that our five offensive linemen were on the five most dangerous all the time. We had a first-year starting quarterback, and so we put all the protection responsibilities on Zach and not on our quarterback. And so he is as intelligent – or more intelligent than any player that I've coached, either as a head coach or as an offensive coordinator.
Neil Brown joining us, the head coach of West Virginia football, to talk about Zach Frazier. We do want your thoughts on Beanie Bishop coming up in a couple of minutes, Neil. But one of the things you talked about all season long was the luxury you had with Zach Frazier. You know, ordinarily, some of the players you'd play in the Big 12, you'd think, okay, there's no chance you wouldn't think about doubling some of these guys. And with Zach, you didn't have to do that, did you?
No, we put him on his own. Obviously, there's going to be a step up in competition when you go from any college football to the National Football League. But we had him do a lot of things. We used him to pull a bunch. You know, we got him out and pulled. And I know some of the hardcore Steeler fans will remember Dermoni Dawson. He was one of the first centers that really pulled a lot. I'm from Kentucky, so I remember him really well. But we used Zach to pull a lot. We had him. We used him one-on-one in protection a lot more than some teams do their centers. And so we had the luxury of doing that. And I believe as Zach gets a feel for going against NFL-type guys every single day and gets a feel for what the Steelers are going to ask him to do, I think he'll be able to do those same things at the NFL.
Neil, Beanie Bishop, you know, 5'9", probably slid in the draft because of his size. But, I mean, last year he had a fantastic year. What did he have, Carly, 20-some pass breakups?
20 pass breakups, four picks, yeah.
Four picks. I mean, what are the Steelers getting in Beanie Bishop? Signs as an undrafted free agent, but it was a hell of a player in college football. What are the Steelers getting in him?
Well, I think this, too, and I'll say this about Zach and Beanie both, is the Steelers have a great feel for what they're getting. There's no NFL organization that's in our building more than the Steelers. Blaine Stewart's on our staff, who worked within the Steelers organization for 5 years. And so we have really good relationships with the Steelers coaching staff. They've been great to us ever since I've been here as the head coach. And so I think that there's a comfortability standpoint of understanding on both sides of what they're getting, you know, from a character standpoint and from a football and work ethic standpoint. Beanie Bishop was extremely productive. He's a one-year player for us. He was only in our program about 7 months. But he came, he worked hard. I'm indebted to him because he not only came and was really productive for us on the field, but he also, I thought, made an impact on our young guys. We were really young in the secondary besides him, and I thought he invested that time. And so that's something that from a personal feeling – for myself is I really feel like we're indebted to him because he really invested time in our younger program, our younger guys. He'll make up, and that's going to help us as we move into 24 and beyond. Beanie Bishop has all kinds of ball production. He slid in the draft because of his height, but he ran 4.39, and he's got great lateral change of direction. He's got top end speed. He's got great ball skills. He returned a punt for a touchdown in our bowl game, so he has return skills. Earlier in his career at Western Kentucky, he was a really effective kickoff returner as well. But for him, he's your ultimate guy that's chip on your shoulder, and he's going to be extremely hungry. He's an intelligent football player, and I believe he'll have. I think he has a great opportunity to make the team.
Neil, I'm a West Virginia alum, and Doran is a former All-American at Pitt playing tight end. We don't agree on very much, but he liked the Zach Frazier pick so much, he told me he'd wear a West Virginia shirt today. And on the shirt, it says, beat Penn State. That's the only way I could get him to put one on. So we both agree on very little, but we both agree on go beat Penn State August 31st, all right?
That's a goal. I appreciate it, guys. Appreciate what you do. You got a great show. And I think that everybody here associated with West Virginia is fired up that both those guys are there. And I don't think Zach Frazier could have landed in a better spot. You know, hour and a half from home, you know, he's going to have a tremendous following of West Virginia faithful and his hometown people. And so I think it's going to be a great story.
Thank you, Neil. Really appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Yeah, you have a great day. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Neil.
You too. Neil Brown. He was more jacked up for that conversation, it seems, than when we talked to him before the backyard brawl.
Yeah.
Things have changed for him significantly, and I'm happy for him because he is a good guy.
And things changed probably that day or the next day. I think the whole, you know, transition and you know, just version of their season really changed after they did beat Pitt down there.
Do you see what I did, by the way?
No.
I make fun of people who call coach.
Oh, yeah, you called him
coach. I called him coach earlier.
I recognized that earlier.
I did.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, I called him coach because he's my coach. He's my guy. Mm-hmm. He's my man.
He's your guy now, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course
he is. But I was not a Fire Neil guy. I wasn't. I was not happy with the call he made to not go for it in the backyard brawl in the Devonshire game. But I was not down on Neil because I think he's been a good coach.
Mm.
They just needed to get the wins, and now the wins have come.
I think you're on the fence.
Zach Frazier, though. He did land in the perfect spot, you know, and he's a good guy. Without Zach Frazier, Neil Brown is not there anymore. There because Neil has always talked, you need, and so is Narduzzi and any good coach. You talk about player-driven programs. You can't win unless you have a player-driven program. And Zach Frazier's that kind of guy. And Beanie Bishop was transformative in his 7 months. I think he can come in and play slot for the Steelers. I don't know that you want a rookie coming in playing slot and starting right away, especially an undrafted guy. I bet you he makes the team because of special teams. He can return. He's also a willing tackler. And I would imagine that at some point he'll be playing slot for them this year. I really do.
That position, you talk about competing, and Mike Tomlin talks about Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, but that position at slot corner, like, he's going to have a legitimate shot to compete for that job. Like, there's not really anybody in front of him.
Right.
There's people that want that job, like Dante Jackson, maybe, and if you find another outside corner, but Beanie Bishop's going to have the most legit opportunity to actually compete for a job and falling in the draft and having that opportunity is everything that you want. He's going to have the way.
Not only did Neil mention that Zach Frazier and Beanie Bishop are two guys that the Steelers know very well, five of their top six draft picks all came in for visits. So their top four draft picks last year, they came in for visits. Obviously, their first-round pick was Kenny Pickett before, and they knew him very well. And then the first six guys this year came in for visits. The only guy who didn't was Roman Wilson. And, well, the tape does the talking for him. He's a dog. They got a bunch of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, Homer Radio. Now, try to find someone, anybody, nationally, who didn't think the Steelers had a B-plus or higher draft. Try to find one. All right, coming up next, Social Media's Biggest Loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We were going to do Social Media's Biggest Loser, but we're having a great time. It's going to be 85 degrees today. We've had a wonderful show, great guest. We got everyone up to speed on this draft class for the Steelers, so why call anybody a loser today, Dorm?
Yep.
Especially with the information that we now just received. You tell them.
Okay, well, tomorrow night, what is it, 7 p.m., I believe? Yeah. 7 p.m.? Backyard brawl. Pitt baseball against West Virginia baseball at PNC Park. Guess he's throwing out the first pitch.
Let's go!
Me and you?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to work. We don't have any of the details yet.
No.
But the game is going to be broadcast on KDKA AM, 1020, 101, 100.1 FM. I always butcher that. I'm sorry. Don't yell at me, PJ. So they'll broadcast the game over there. Jeff Hathorn is doing play-by-play. Susie Cool is going to be doing the color. And we're going to throw out the first pitch.
Yeah, maybe we'll go on the broadcast a little bit. Maybe call an inning. That'd be kind of fun.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
What do I wear?
West Virginia shirt.
What are you wearing?
Are you like? Are we both going to throw? Or are you going to catch?
That's the question.
Am I
don't know.
Do you want to throw?
Yeah.
Do you want to embarrass yourself?
I will groove one right down the middle from the mound.
There's no.
I will throw a perfect strike.
There's no chance.
If that's how it goes, I'll throw a perfect strike. And if I'm the catcher, I'll block your ball in the dirt. Unlike Henry Davis. I threw a shot at somebody there. Yeah, I didn't have to do that.
No.
Joey Bart strikes out to end the game yesterday.
Yeah.
We purposefully didn't talk any Pirates today because, well, we're aggravated. And the draft was so good. We'll see what they're able to do. They're starting a series against the A's tonight. But tomorrow, if only one of us gets to throw it, do you care? I mean, do you want to throw it? If you want to throw it, you can't. I just want to be part of this.
We'll figure it out.
Rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll come up with some kind of contest on tomorrow's show.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
All right, well, really jacked up about that, really jacked up about the draft class, really jacked up about the show we did. We'll talk to Ince tomorrow at 5:40. Coming up next, Starkey and Bob are on one today. They've already come in here. They're throwing barbs at each other. Pomp is all ticked off at Starkey because Starkey's trying to infiltrate his weekend radio show, so things should be good. Zeiss will be in as well.
Pomp wants to steal my arms because his anniversary's coming up.
Yeah, he said, I want to impress my wife, so let me take your arms. And then I made an alternative suggestion. Talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. Today, high 83.